Proof to All Men was presented by Ron Julian on March 31, 2013 at Reformation Fellowship. The copyright for this recording is held by Gutenberg College, Inc., 2013. Gutenberg College is a nonprofit organization, and contributions may be made at www.gutenberg.edu. This material may be copied and distributed in whole for non-commercial and educational purposes, subject to the inclusion of this introduction. All other rights reserved.
We're here today because we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. What reason do we have for believing a thing like that? Well, in the Bible, we have the written testimony of the apostles, the men who were the students of Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. They said that they saw Jesus alive after he died. They said that they spoke to him on numerous occasions. And we believe that Jesus rose because the apostles said that he did. We didn't see it, but they said that's what happened. This is what the apostle Peter said in his very first recorded sermon, the sermon he preached after Jesus departed on the day of Pentecost. He said, "This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses." Peter said the same thing again in his second recorded sermon. He said to the Jews in Jerusalem, "You disowned Jesus, the holy and righteous one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses." This is what the apostles said over and over. God raised Jesus from the dead. We saw it. Now, when someone tells me, "This is true, I saw it happen," I've got a choice to make. We always have a choice to make. Are we going to believe that or not? And furthermore, do we even care whether it's true or not? There are people in this world who will swear that they've seen all kinds of funny things, and it's actually not all that big a deal to me personally whether they're telling the truth or not. But the biblical writers all agree that it is a very big deal that Jesus rose from the dead. They're saying, "This is true, we saw it, and it makes all the difference." There are many reasons why it matters whether the apostles are telling the truth about this. We could, as I was thinking about what to say today, there are so many roads we could go down in talking about why the resurrection is important. The resurrection is central to the gospel. The resurrection means that we are forgiven, that we have a hope of eternal life, that we have a hope to be freed from sin forever. We could probably open the New Testament at random and find a reason why the resurrection is important. It is that central to the New Testament message, to the gospel. Today, we're just going to look at one reason, and in fact, just one sentence from one sermon that is recorded in the book of Acts. Now, Peter, in the sermons that I was just quoting from, those first sermons that he gave, was speaking to Jews. The Jews already understood concepts like the Messiah, the Christ, those promises that had been made to Israel beforehand, and so forth. But most of us here are not Jews, so I thought we would look at a sermon that was preached to Gentiles. This is found in Acts 17, verse 30. It's one sentence we're going to look at. The Apostle Paul was in the Greek town of Athens. He was deeply upset at the intense level of idol worship that going on in the city. So he started teaching, started talking to people, and eventually he was called to go and speak at the Areopagus, which is partly a way of describing this hill in Athens and partly a way of describing a sort of meeting, a sort of judicial council that met there that seemed to have a certain amount of authority over what went on in the city. Basically, Paul was not under arrest, but he was asked to come and sort of explain himself. What are you saying around this place? Let's hear what you have to say. And so that sermon is recorded in Acts. He ends that sermon with this sentence: "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." Since this is our one sentence for today, let me read it to you again. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So here's what Paul is saying to them, I think. You don't realize it, but you have a serious problem. The true God, the God that you have ignored, is going to judge the world. Your eternal destiny is not in the hands of all of these idols I see around Athens. Your eternal destiny is in the hands of the one God, maker of heaven and earth. And so, that God is graciously calling you to repent. He is willing to forget your idolatry. He is willing to accept you and bless you if you will turn away from your idolatry and turn toward him. But what does this God want from you? On what basis is God going to judge the world? How can you please this righteous God who holds your destiny in his hands? Well, God has made known exactly what he wants. He has appointed a man to judge the world. Paul calls him a man. From here on, we'll call him Jesus. This man, Jesus, will implement the judgment of God. Do you want to know what God wants? Look to the teaching of Jesus to tell you. Do you want God to be pleased with you? Then you want Jesus to be pleased with you. God has spoken to you clearly through the man Jesus, whom he has appointed judge of all the world. Now, this is an amazing claim. How can you know it is true? How can you know that Jesus is the judge of mankind? How can you know that Jesus holds your destiny in his hands? How can you know that you should repent and learn from Jesus what it is that God wants? That's a big decision. You're going to hand everything over to this guy that you hardly know? How can you know that you should do such a thing? Well, this is what Paul tells them. You can know because God has shouted out to the world that it is true. This indeed is the man that I have appointed to judge the world. God has furnished proof to all men that Jesus is the Savior and Judge of the world. And how did God do this? God raised him from the dead. The resurrection is proof that Jesus is God's appointed judge of the world. Now, the resurrection is many things. There are many other things that we could talk about, that we could say are significant about the resurrection. It is the central event in human history. It is rich with all sorts of meaning and significance. But this is one of the first things that is significant about the resurrection. It is God's stamp of approval. It is God saying, yes, that is the Messiah. That is the one who is going to judge the world for me. And so, as Paul tells them, the resurrection is a clarion call that we must repent. We must turn back to God through his appointed judge and deliverer, Jesus. That was the message that Paul was giving those Greek Gentiles at the time. Now, in many ways, these Athenians were in the same situation that we are. None of these Athenians saw Jesus rise from the dead. All they have is the testimony of Paul. Now, we remember Paul was not one of the original 12 disciples, but he had spoken to the risen Christ. The Athenians are having to decide their eternal destiny based on the testimony of someone else, just as the Jews were having to decide on their eternal destiny based on the testimony of Peter and the other apostles as they were preaching in Jerusalem. So in this case, how did the Athenians respond to this testimony? Well, in Acts it tells us, "Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, 'We shall hear you again concerning this.' So Paul went out of their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them." The Greeks to whom Paul was talking were philosophically opposed to the idea of resurrection. They thought it was stupid. As soon as they heard Paul say God raised a man from the dead, they started to sneer. "Oh, you're one of those kind of guys. We already know that we don't need to listen to you." But this was not the reaction of everyone. Dionysius was an Areopagite, which I understand to mean that he was one of the members of the council, one of the judges of the council that was hearing Paul. So thoroughly Greek, thoroughly steeped in the Greek philosophy and culture that the rest of the people there were, and yet ultimately he accepted the testimony of Paul and believed. Well, this is exactly the situation that we find ourselves in. We live in a culture hostile to God. Many people around us sneer at the ideas found in the gospel, just as the Greeks sneered at Paul. And I know at times we find that intimidating. It's uncomfortable to be in a situation where so many of the people that I live with and hang around with think that the thing that I think is true is dumb, is obviously dumb, is just obviously not worth talking about because it is so ridiculously stupid. That's the situation that Paul was speaking into in Athens as well. And yet, the testimony of the apostles stands. God has raised Jesus from the dead. And this calls for us to make a decision. Do we believe them? If they are telling the truth, then Jesus holds my life in his hands, and I had better follow him.